Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Well, guys, I have a fantastic show on tap for you today. I have read this wonderful book, and of course, when I did, I really wanted to get the author on my show so she could talk to you directly about these fantastic tips that she has to help us be more successful in our business. Let me first tell you the name of the book. It's 6 Steps to Creating Profit, a Guide for Small and Mid-Sized Service-Based Businesses. And the author's name is Patricia Sigmund. I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. She is the founder of LPS Consulting, which helps companies manage IT systems through their entire life cycle, from planning to the introduction of new systems and integration with existing ones, while providing training and in-house support. She is also the founder of David Advisory Group, which meets the needs of CEOs and business owners whose excellence in service and product development requires expertise and practice management assistance to reap the profits and sustain longevity of success. Patricia, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Now, I'm really intrigued, Patricia, by the title of this book, 6 Steps to Creating Profit. And I kind of went, ooh, if we could only boil it down to 6. That's why I wanted to make sure we had a chance to talk to you. So let's just start really big picture here because we won't have time to cover all 6 steps but in detail. But can you just give us the bite-sized nuggets for each of these 6 steps that you talk about in your book?
Sure, sure I can. Everything that I'm writing about is to help the owner make more profit in basically a privately held business. And when I look at the steps, I look at what could be going wrong. It could be for a new business where nothing's going wrong yet, or it could be for an old business that isn't making any profit. So I start with changing the rules of operation. For a new business, it would be making the rules of operation. But for an existing business, it would be to take a look at everything that's going on, income, expense, how you're doing things, processes. Take a quick look at it. I have several pages in the book to help analyze things. And start going down the list and seeing what really needs to change in order to be making more profit. Sounds easy. It isn't easy, but it's an outline of what we can do to sort of re-engineer our processes and re-engineer our thoughts about our sales and expenses.
And Patricia, you know, you do obviously make a good point that it's not easy, but it's really not hard. It may be time-consuming, it may be agonizing, depending on where your business is, but it's really not rocket science to pick apart these areas of your business, look at whether they're effective or not, and then implement some of the changes that you say can make them better.
Yeah, and a lot of times, us business owners, we might do it when we were away on a trip, on an airplane, you know, at a convention. We get in that mode where we're thinking of doing things, and then we go back to work and we kind of just, you know, fight fires all day long and never really implement things. If you really want to make a change, and a lot of businesses do with the economic situation, you can do it. You have to be very controlled, very organized, and one by one you'll go through the steps that it takes to implement change, and you can do it.
Right, right. We all can. And I love your suggestion for, you know, finding those little moments of time on the airplane while you're waiting for the subway to come get you or whatever the case may be. There's always these little snippets that we can find to do these sorts of things. Well, I want to focus in our time together, Patricia, on a couple of the things that you talk about specifically. One of them is changing the rules of operation. And when I read this, I was so intrigued because, as you know, our audience is very, very small business owners. They are, you know, essentially one-woman shows, maybe sometimes men, but mostly women. They rely a lot on virtual assistants, and they also have a lot of products and services that they make that require a lot of their hands-on contact. They make a lot of the products they sell themselves. And one of the things that you say is so important in your chapter about changing the rules of operation is not only focusing on increasing your sales, but these two things, decreasing expenses and streamlining administration. Can you offer some tips for people to do that when they really are, you know, sort of wearing all the hats and even sometimes, you know, manually making the products that they sell?
Yeah. I mean, just looking at your checkbook for the last year, where did your money go? You can be a one-person shop, but you might have insurance. You have to look at the insurance. You have to look at what you're covering, make sure it's the correct thing every year. You might be covering new equipment that has gone down in price, and it might have an old replacement cost in there. You might be covering labor that you're not even getting anymore. You're not paying that amount to yourself or other people anymore. So looking at insurance, looking at if you collect credit cards from your clients, looking at the fees that you're paying, whether it's the cheapest fee, whether you can do it on PayPal or on the phone, versus with a machine, what's the most inexpensive way? Looking at those internet charges. They're everywhere. We're paying on an iPad. We're paying on an iPhone. We're paying wireless at home, wireless in work. We're paying an air card. We're paying like five times for the same internet service. Do you really need it? Are you even looking at it? And if you have more than one person in your office, can you combine gadgets and get a cheaper plan where you share minutes and share data? And those are typical expenses that you can really look at. If you have any employees and you can outsource instead, those are different tactics. Selling to your clients, changing the rules, would be trying not to have that one-time sale, not having this sale being the only sale, changing it to some sort of a subscription, some sort of a plan, some sort of a package of hours, anything that makes it ongoing instead of a one-time sale. Those are pretty significant things that a small business could do to get going with changing the rules so that they end up with more profit.
Those are some super tips. And I actually, after I read your book, went through and I did make some of those changes. I found a way to save money on some of the technology that I use, like when I do teleconferences with my members. I found a less expensive service that offered a lot of the same things. One thing it didn't offer, but I didn't really need that because I wasn't using it a lot. So you're right, there are ways that we can do that. And I love that you talked about repeat sales. Even when you're selling to consumers, which a lot of our listeners are, there are ways, right, Patricia, where you can create some systematization in there and some repeat sales. I think about companies like Harry and David, right? They sell, you know, a pack of 12 oranges. Well, that doesn't have to be the only sale they get from a person all year. You can have an orange a month or a fruit a month club. You can give a gift away as a fruit of the month club to a friend for Christmas, right? So there are things that people can do even if they're not providing services to sort of systematize, as you mentioned, right?
Yeah, and we do it. If you just look at yourself, I like to look at different models. If you're a manufacturer, look at a service model in reverse. Mm-hmm. But look at the things that we do at home. We have maybe someone that mows our lawn, and we pay them for a spring cleaning, and we pay them for gutter cleaning and fall cleanup, and the HVAC people, we pay them to come and do a checkup at the beginning of the season and to close us at the end of the season. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about, like thinking of your business, whatever it is you're doing, and what kind of a service or what kind of a product that is ongoing, what can you do to make it that kind of a business? And it's amazing how we're all doing it. We're doing it at home. We're paying fees for even our credit cards once a year, paying that fee, or if you have Zagat guides and U.S. News college guides, and you've signed up for a year and they're automatically coming back to you a year later. You just want to have some sort of a model that is just not a one-time shop, because your clients will forget you and you'll have to go fight for them all over again.
Right. And speaking of not wanting your clients to forget you, one of the chapters in your book talks about raising the marketing bar and things that we can do, one of which is a podcast, which we're on right now. But you talk about several things that any small business can do, right, to create this kind of marketing cycle, this kind of repetition that moves into your customer's space and stays in touch with them on a regular basis. Can you talk about some of those that you suggest as the most effective, and maybe offer a few examples, Patricia, of companies, small businesses that do this effectively?
Yeah, I mean, it's just getting crazy right now. We all know, like, you're on LinkedIn, you're on Twitter, you're on Facebook, and you have all these friends and connections. You also can have on your website a button, sign me up for your newsletter. You can have blogs and put connect the blogs to Twitter and connect it to LinkedIn, and so that anybody that's connected with you gets to see it. You can put your YouTube videos up and say, hello, how are you? Here's what I'm doing today, and here's my product, my service, and again, connect it through all the social media. These are all things that people are doing, you know, from their bedroom in the middle of the night. It's not something strange, and people are fiddling their way through it, but we all know it's coming at us everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And how do you help your clients? I mean, I love the way you answered that question, because it's like, oh, my goodness, there's so much. Well, most of us not only can't do it all, but certainly don't want to actually have our fingers in every single one of those pots.
I know.
What are some of the touchstones? What are some of the things that you tell your clients when you work with them? Hey, okay, let's pick and choose. Do we cherry pick? What are some of the things that you say we need to consider to pick the ones that might be most effective for us?
Well, first of all, you have to have a website. So we're not even going to that level anymore. Everybody knows they have to have a website. You want to have your SEO has to be good, your search engine optimization. You want your clients to be able to put into Google your service, your location, and you come up there. How do you do that? So the ways you do that is printing press releases and putting a blog with keywords and 3, 4, 5 things you would pick. Now, let's say you don't want to do those. You read a book. There's a good book I like, by the way, Duct Tape Marketing. Kind of famous book and bestseller, and it has all the tips on how to do these kind of things. But maybe you'd go on Craigslist for free and look for someone that does these kind of things by the hour that can help you. These are tasks that even kids in college will do for you, and just people that are more proficient with it. You want to get your arms around maybe 3, 4, 5 things that you want to do. Get your search engine optimization up there. Do Google Ads. Things that you are reading about, like kind of hone in on a few of them and concentrate on getting them done.
Okay.
That's how I started doing it, and that's what I recommend to people that I talk to. You really want to be found in Google or whatever search engine people are looking for, because that's the phone book for you. And you can be found by having an ad, a Google ad, or you can be found by having yourself appear on the first page. How do you get on the first page? Well, that's what all these kind of things will end up doing for you. So pick 4 or 5 things. Find someone that can implement them. You have the message of your business in your head. Dictate it so that it turns into a blog. A YouTube video, and there you go. You're on your way.
Okay, so this really does sort of make it a little more accessible. I know a lot of our listeners have sort of gone through that picking and choosing process, but a lot of people haven't. So it's good to hear you say, number one, you don't have to be at all of them, Patricia, but also number two, that, you know, 4 or 5 is pretty manageable when it comes to marketing, and you have lots of options, right? Video is great.
And I'd work backwards.
Pardon?
I mean, sometimes people decide they want to have a beautiful website. That's what they want. They put all their money in their website, all their time in their website. Do you want to be found on the Internet? Do you want someone searching for your product or your service to find you? Is that your goal? If that's your goal, then back that up with 4 or 5 tasks that will help you with that goal. It might not be a pretty website. It would be other things that would create, you know, the search engine optimization so that you're found.
Right.
And year after year, change it. on you go with other things that we don't even know about yet.
Well, and that's the other thing, too. This is something that needs to be a part of your regular assessment, right? So, you know, when you're climbing up the 6 steps to creating profit, and I love the $100 bill there on the front cover of your book, when you're climbing up your path and doing your 6 steps, this is not like a one-time thing. Oh, I'm so glad I did that. I'll do it again another 5 years. You have to be constantly reassessing this marketing thing we talked about and the decreasing of your expenses and everything else in light of how the world and technology is changing for us, right?
Yeah, and I think that the field that I've been in for just about 30 years, I think it's the reason I'm able to work with other people on change and creating profit, because I've been in technology, and what I did on day one is so remote from what I do today.
Mm-hmm.
So I sold things to clients almost 30 years ago when PCs were invented, and we all know what's happened since then.
Right.
So every day of my business career is a new day, is a new thing. I never could sit back and relax and say, "Oh, now I have it down pat. I'm in. I don't have to worry or change." Every day was change. Other businesses aren't like that. They kind of get stale and they get used to what they're doing, and they don't realize that change is inevitable for many people. And right now, because of technology and because of the economy, people who were sitting still and weren't doing anything are forced to change and forced to make differences.
Oh, and it is so heartbreaking to see someone, isn't it, Patricia, with a great product, a nice product that they have to offer that has gotten a couple of years behind on the marketing and still has a great product, but nobody's really talking about it or interested in it, not because it's not great, but because they haven't kept up with the ways to get out there and make sure that people know about it.
Yeah, and it's these days, a lot of these steps that I'm talking about, it's all about inbound marketing. How do you get the people to knock on your door? And it's your virtual door, it's your internet door. How do you get the people to find you? It's packing information out there that people would be interested in reading so that they know your name. It's branding yourself. It's totally different than it used to be. You don't put yourself up on a billboard. You don't send notices in the mail. We all throw them away. You have to find a way to connect with new people and have them knock on your door.
And Patricia, would you think it's an overstatement to say that all other things being equal in terms of the product or service that two companies are offering, the company that does that the best has a massive amount of leverage and a huge advantage over other companies who are, in some respects, it sounds awful to say that this, but relying on the goodness of their product to make their bottom line work?
Well, it's definitely all about marketing. And, you know, we can even see these successful businesses and why is, you know, one company winning this war and another one not, and look at bookstores and, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It's very, very technological and very much about the internet and on your iPhone and on your iPad and quick and virtual. And, you know, don't put in your fee big fat office space and loads of administrative help and think that you're going to be competitive with someone else who doesn't operate like that.
And let's talk for a second, Patricia, about what we can do to really create new ways to generate income. Once you have, to make your business more successful financially, once you have, let's just say, because most small businesses start with, you know, a very small number of core products or maybe even one core product that sort of builds the platform, and then they sort of add things onto that. Can you talk a little bit about that process and how you help your clients go through the, number one, the process of making sure they don't spread themselves too thin on the front end, but number two, creating, as your book talks about, creating, you know, streamlining your products and your new offerings to create these new income opportunities, these new profit center opportunities so that you can grow your business, you know, based on the core that you start with?
Yeah, a lot of times people, we learn things over the years from mentors and different people, and I've always been impressed with marketing, and not particularly sales, but marketing. And marketing would let the people come and find me versus me going out and finding them, and now inbound marketing. And I just remember, especially in technology, people take a product that they have had, and they wrap it up with a different bow on it, and they say, "We're releasing this new blah, blah, blah." Many times it's a piece of something that's been there all along, has a little bit extra on it, but it's marketed to call attention from people. That's what it's about with a small business. You might, for instance, be servicing 20 different business types. You might have a packaging company, whatever you do. You might have furniture stores, restaurants, all these different businesses that use your services or buy your products. One day you just decide that you're going to market your package, your product, as the restaurant solution or as the, you know, as the bakery store solution. And all of a sudden, because you've done it already, now you're marketing yourself in a different way, and your customer base increases because it shows your importance in their field. It shows your prowess in solving those problems that person knows about. All it's doing is putting a different bow on your service, packaging it a little bit different, doing what you've been doing, but putting a different label on it, and you're then going after a niche market that you really didn't know you were servicing. And that's a lot of advice that I give to a lot of people.
Can you share an example? I mean, maybe not with naming names, but can you share an example of a small business that you know of that's kind of done that effectively? Like, what did they start with, and what did they, you know, revamp, I guess, so that they could offer something similar so that their cost didn't go up, but they were able to generate more, get more customers to buy that new thing?
It happens a lot in marketing, and it happens in a lot of different places, and big businesses do it. Okay, but talking about small businesses, you have a marketing company, and the marketing company will talk to me, and they'll talk to you, and they'll be really, they only know what they do, marketing, and they'll be telling you to create a LinkedIn page and Facebook page, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Then there's a marketing person that I've dealt with recently who took software resellers as the model. She had done software resellers once, software resellers twice, so she knew what she was talking about. But she put it together as a software reseller marketing plan.
Mm.
She's on the web. She writes articles about what she does for software resellers. So when you're looking, when you're a software reseller and you're looking for advice, I mean, it's pointed. It's very much targeted to you. Whereas if it was targeted to the whole universe, it gets boring. You just bypass many pages. But when you're reading about exactly what you do, it changes the whole focus. So I do know marketing people that have done that. I know that duct tape marketing I was mentioning before, PR people that do that. I mean, there are PR people who just concentrate on authors. I'm an author. They concentrate on authors. They specialize in authors that are business authors, not romance authors. And
right.
It's the same thing in every field. You just you get more strength by talking about your successes and trying to attract people who have the same mm-hmm. area of expertise.
So if whittling it down a little bit, you start off with a business selling, reselling software, as you said, or whatever it is that you sell. And then after you have that down, you have 3 or 4 or 15 or however many it is, companies whose software you're reselling. Well, now you're a software reseller expert, sort of, so you can help other people learn how to be in that business successfully as well. Is that sort of what you mean?
Well, as a marketing person, if you're marketing for someone and you're, say, advertising and giving advice to the software reseller and you're saying to that person, I'm a marketing expert. I know where you should put your blogs. I know what extra services you should offer. I know what you should have on your website. I know the branding message that you want to give.
Mm-hmm.
That's a task you've done for one person, and then you go to another company that's in the same business, and
mm-hmm.
you then already know what they want you to do, and you are now an expert in that field for that next client.
Right.
In my field,
right.
In my technology field, I've always concentrated on manufacturing
mm-hmm.
businesses and distribution businesses. Now,
mm-hmm.
why? Because in where I live and where I've operated, that typically is what kind of businesses were out there. Now, other people will try to work with doctors or with lawyers or with service-based businesses. So when someone's a manufacturing company or a distributing company, they will be happier with me who's done 1,000 of those kind of companies, more than getting a company in the door to do their technology who's only worked with doctors.
Right, right. This is
so
great.
So put that label on you.
Right, right, and we've covered so much ground here. We have a few minutes left. We've talked about decreasing your expenses and streamlining. We've talked about marketing, which is, you know, so hot and so important, as you mentioned, that content, that inbound marketing that we need to really pay attention to. And another thing, one of your other steps, which I want to ask you about, is making everyone a salesperson. What exactly do you mean by that, Patricia, and what are your tips for making that happen?
Yeah, you know, I've always felt that way, and it might be because when I was a little girl, my mother had a catering business. It's always about every single person that's working in the company having the business face on, representing the company they work for, and selling to customers, not saying buy my product. But for instance, when they write an email, they don't misspell everything. They have it neatly written. They have a tagline on the bottom with a pretty little logo for your company and maybe a little message of the day or something. When they come to work and they're going to be face-to-face with clients, that they're dressed properly. They're not, you know, dressed for the beach. When they answer the phone, they talk professionally. They answer the phone. They pass the customer along, get the information they want. They're selling your services. They're selling your business. When they pay bills, when they're the bookkeeper, they don't just pay the bill. They investigate each invoice, make sure that it's the proper price. Mm. They represent you. They motivate each other when that happens. And every customer and every vendor that's dealing with them has a good expectation.
That's a really good advice.
Yeah.
It makes me think about a conversation I had a couple days ago with one of my clients who's working on building her sales rep force, and how one of the things we talked about was, you know, sort of making it a little more fun, bringing the sales force together, even if it has to be on a conference call because they're sort of scattered all over the country, and creating some incentives for them to want to meet with each other to learn how each other markets your products. And then they can take that not only to help sell your products, but if they rep other companies, that you're helping their business grow as well. And the better they do at that and the more support they get, the more money they make. And the more money they make, obviously, the more money you make since they're selling your products.
Mm-hmm. There's just so many things we can do, and you don't close your mind. You just keep your mind open, and you know, you tackle problems one way, and you just keep on your feet all the time and trying to work in a profitable business model.
Right. Such good advice from our guest today, Patricia Sigmund. She is the author of 6 Steps to Creating Profit, a guide for small and mid-sized service-based businesses. And you know, even though this book is mainly aimed at companies that provide services, there are lots of tips in here, as we've discussed, for companies that sell products as well. Because, you know, the bottom line is the bottom line, and there are certain things that all businesses have to do, no matter what they're selling, in order to be successful. Patricia, thank you for this. Now tell us, where can we go on the Internet to find you if we're looking for this book, looking for your speaking, and other services that you provide?
Sure. David Advisory Group is the website for the speaking and writing business. Amazon, all the bookstores, Barnes & Noble, everything online has the book. It's a Wiley publication, and you can find it anywhere.
Excellent. All right, Patricia Sigmund, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're
on Indie Business Podcast. You guys got to get this book. It's great, chock full of tips. 6 Steps to Creating Profit. Patricia, thank you so much. We will see you
next week
right here on Indie Business Podcast. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.